Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we will be reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, 18th chapter, text, The Perfection of Renunciation, chapter, page 738, text number 54. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Nasoshati Nakanchati. Samasaveshu Bhuteshu. Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Word for word. Brahma Bhuta, being one with the Absolute. Prasanna Atma, fully joyful. Na, never. Soshati, laments. Na, never. Kansati, desires. Samaha, equally disposed. Sarveshu, to all. Bhuteshu, living entities. Mad Bhaktim, my devotional service. Labhate, gains. Param, transcendental. Everybody, turn off your cell phone if you. Translation. One is thus translated, situated, at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. Please repeat. One who is thus translated, situated,
at once realizes the Supreme Brahman
and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Through the impersonalist, achieving the Brahma Bhuta stage, becoming one with the Absolute, is the last word. For the personalist or pure devotee, one has to go still further to become engaged in pure devotional service. This means that one who is engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is already in a state of liberation called Brahma Bhuta, oneness with the Absolute. Without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto Him. In the Absolute conception, there is no distinction between the served and the servitor, yet the distinction is there in a higher spiritual sense. In the material conception of life, when one works for sense gratification, there is misery. But in the Absolute world, when one is engaged in pure devotional service, there is no misery. Devotee in Krishna consciousness has nothing to do, nothing for which to lament or desire. Since God is full, every living entity who engages in God's service in Krishna consciousness becomes also full in himself, just like a river cleansed of all dirty water. Because a pure devotee has no thought other than Krishna, he
he's naturally joyful. He does not lament for any material loss or aspire for gain. Because he is full in the service of the Lord, he has no desire for material enjoyment, because he knows that every living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore eternally a servant. He does not see in the material world someone as higher and someone as lower. Higher and lower positions are ephemeral, and duality has nothing to do with ephemeral appearance or disappearance. For him, stone and gold are of equal value. This is the Brahma-Bhuta stage. And this stage is attained very easily by the pure devotee. In that stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Brahman and annihilating one's individuality becomes hellish. The idea of attaining the heavenly planets becomes phantasmagoria. And the senses are like serpents whose poison teeth are broken. As there is no fear of a serpent with broken teeth, there is no fear in the senses when they are automatically controlled. The world is miserable for the materially infected person. But for a devotee, the entire world is as good as Vaikuntha or the spiritual sky. The highest personality in this material universe is no more significant than an ant for a devotee. Such a stage can be achieved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who preached pure devotional service in this age. Om Arginatram Dasya Janajana Stakaya Saksu Umitam Jaina Tasme Shri Gurvenoha Shri Chaitanya Manobi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhujale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Danti Sapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gurarar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So this is the series of verses from 49 to 55. Deal with from Jnana to attaining pure devotional service. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnanapara anabhitam anukalena krishnasano bhakti uttamam. This is the definition given by Rupa Goswami for pure devotional service. One time, Advaitacharya didn't like the fact that he was getting so much respect from Lord Chaitanya. He thought that he was subordinate to Lord Chaitanya. Of course, he was older than Lord Chaitanya. He was a senior citizen, and Lord Chaitanya was giving him all due respect. But he didn't like that, so he devised a plan, a trick, that he would preach Mayavadi philosophy or Jnana. And so he did that. He preached Yoga Vasishta, the Mayavadi philosophy of Shankaracharya. Then Lord Chaitanya came to meet him. He said, "Acharya, tell me, which is superior, bhakti or Jnana?" And Advaitacharya said, "You can't attain bhakti until you have jnana, or until you have knowledge. Jnana is superior." So then Lord Chaitanya started to beat him. And his wife came and said, "Stop, he's an old man, you're going to kill him." But Advaitacharya was happy because he fulfilled his desire to become subordinate to Lord Chaitanya. Because he knew all the time that jnana is not superior. And that's what is being stressed here in this verse, in this series of verses. So, the
the Brahma Buddha stage, this verse is the one of the important verses of Bhagavad Gita, often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, and features also quote this verse. And Brahma Buddha means becoming one, or coming to the stage of Brahman, Brahmanohi Pratistaham. But for the Mayavadis, impersonalists, this is the, they think this is the goal. But there are two schools of thinking. There's the Brahmavadis and the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis say Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. They say the material world is false and that Brahman is reality. Everything is Brahman. Everyone becomes one or merges into the Supreme. So one Dwari met a Mayavadi. It was in the winter time. He said, "You see everything is one, so you give me your blanket." So he gave him his blanket, and then he gave him one thread from his blanket. "You see everything is one, so you keep this thread, and I'll keep your blanket." But then in the middle of the night, the man came back and said, "I'm feeling cold. Can you give me my blanket?" So it's not everything is one. There's a misconception. And we know the four Kumaras, they were Brahmavadis. There's a difference. Some souls are Brahman realized, but they haven't come to the higher conclusion or higher understanding. Brahma Meti Bhagavaniti Subjute. Brahma Meti Paramatma Meti Bhagavaniti Subjute. So there's three levels of perfection that can be attained. One is be entering into Brahman, or becoming merged into the Brahma Yoti, and then there's a Paramatma realization, which is the goal of the yogis, of realizing that Krishna is the super soul in everyone's heart. And then there's Bhagavan realization, which we realize that our understanding that Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, and to serve and love Krishna is the highest perfection of life. So we have Devi Dham, the material world, then you have Mahesh Dham, the abode of Lord Shiva, then you have Hari Dham, Vaikuntha planets, and then you have Logoloka, or the abode of Lord Krishna. And this Goloka is the biggest of all the Dhams, and that's where Krishna's having his eternal pastimes. So in the Vaikuntha planets, there's no modes of material nature, there's no suffering, everyone's engaged in pure devotional service. But this is not understood by most people in this world. And then you have the Mayavadis, or the impersonalists, and they think that going to the Brahman effulgence and merging into the Supreme is the highest perfection. But we know that the happiness derived from Brahman realization is like the water in a calf's hoof print, which compared to 10 million times more pleasure you get from devotional service. So devotees, we're not interested in Brahman realization or merging. The Mayavadis, they wear this three-line tilak, and mostly the voice of Lord Shiva. And they're like dry oil cakes. They're not blissful. You don't see Mayavadis chanting and dancing. So when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, Benares was the seat of the Mayavadis,
and Prakasananda Saraswati, he was the leader of the Maya bodies. So Maya bodies are different from Brahma bodies because they're offensive. They say God cannot have eyes, cannot have ears, cannot have nose, cannot have legs, cannot have arms. This way they deride the Lord. But even in the Bible it says man is created in the image of God. So if we have a body, we have a form, we have senses, how can God not have, how can we have something that God doesn't have? Or we would be greater than God. So this is a misconception that the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, the supreme Lord, who's maintaining and controlling everything in the material world, is not a person. Whoever we see in this world has something that's very beautiful or wondrous, we know there's some creator behind it. You see a painting, you know, a painting of a flower, you know there's an artist. But if you see a real flower, which has a smell and color and looks very beautiful, there has to be a supreme artist behind that, or supreme intelligence behind that. You see, in the material world, nothing goes on by accident or by at random. The seasons come and go. Everything is going on systematically. So if something is going on systematically, it means there's an intelligence behind it. And that intelligence is the Supreme Lord. Krishna says that that everything is resting upon him as pearls are strung on a thread. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, and by his energy, he is the different things are working in the material world. So the Brahma bodies were the four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami, the four Yogendras. They had become Brahman realized, so they were pure devotees. But until they heard about Krishna, heard from authority that there was something higher than that, they remained Brahmavadis. But when the four Kumaras decided to go to Vaikuntha to see Lord Vishnu, and when they went there, and they got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, and they smelled the tulsi leaves that were offered to his lotus feet, they had a change of heart, and they became Vaishnavas. And you have the Kumara Sampradaya. So we have there four Sampradayas, or bona fide lines of Vaishnavas, one from Brahma, one from four Kumaras, one from Lord Shiva, and one from the Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So those four Sampradayas, or lines of disciplic succession, are all bona fide, and they all agree on one thing. They may differ a little bit in their philosophies, but they all agree that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what Srila Prabhupada came to the West to teach people, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they went to incorporate the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the lawyer said you should call it International Society for God Consciousness, because Krishna is too specific. If you call it International Society for God Consciousness, that will be more acceptable. But Prabhupada didn't agree. He said, no, I want to call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Krishna means the all-attractive one, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam states that any name for God is Krishna. Krishna has hundreds and millions of names, but Krishna is the original name. And when Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, he introduced the Sankirtan movement, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, So this is Yuga Dharma. In this age, we can't do meditation, we can't do yoga, we can't form sacrifices, we can't do opulent deity worship. In past ages, they could do these things. In this age, we can't do anything. But Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalo, Kaluna Sevana, Sneva Seva, Tachiranyata. It says, in this age, there's no other way, no other way, no other way, but chanting the holy name of the Lord. So this is the what Srila Prabhupada came to the West. It was predicted by Lord Chaitanya that his name of the Maha Mantra would be chanted in every town and village in the world. And now we see the movement's being spread all over the world, to Outer Mongolia, to China, Russia, Europe, America, India, all over the world. People are taking to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And why is that? Because Paramjishvara Nivartante. By chanting Hare Krishna, Goloke, Premadana, Harinam, Sankirtana, this is a spiritual sound vibration. It's not material. Something material, you can chant John, John, Mr. John, Mr. John, Mr. John, but you'll get tired very soon. But devotees in this movement and in past ages have chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra continuously. We don't get tired. We do it every day. And because it's spiritual, it keeps us in this spiritual platform. So the Maya bodies, they only attain Brahman realization, and that is not a satisfactory condition. That is not a permanent condition. Because in the manifold sense, there's no service. And they can come back again in the material world. So, for the devotees, it says, for the devotees, this is a hellish condition to want to go to the Brahman effulgence or to become one, lose our identity. But here it says that we should become one with the Lord. But that means we should become one in desire or one in interest. Not that we lose our individuality. So the this verse is the beginning. It says here that one has to go further. Personalists say that one has to still go further to engage in pure devotional service. So Brahma-bhuta means oneness, but it shouldn't be misunderstood as Mayavadi oneness. So one person his name was Ramachandra Puri. He was a Mayavadi. His guru was Ishwar Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri was on his deathbed, and Ramachandra Puri came there and had the audacity to criticize Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was lamenting that he had not got the Lord of his life, the Lord of Mathura. So Madhavendra Puri became very angry and said, "I don't want to ever see this man's face again. Get him out of here." And because Madhavendra Puri, Ramachandra Puri, committed Vaishnava aparad, he became a fault finder and a critic. So Ramachandra Puri met Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and because he was a fault finder and a critic, he would call Vaishnavas, feed them, prasadam up to their neck, and then he'd criticize them. Say, "I've heard these Vaishnavas
of Lord Chaitanya's followers to eat more than necessary. But he couldn't find any fault with Lord Chaitanya. So one day he went to Lord Chaitanya's room. He saw ants. He saw this sannyasi's eating sweetmeats, eating too many sweets. Of course, the ants are there, here and there and everywhere. You find ants in the bathroom, not only with sugar. Anyway, he criticized Lord Chaitanya. So, this is an example of Mayavadis or impersonalists. They can't understand anything about devotees or devotional service. And when Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, everyone felt like a big boulder had been lifted off their heads. So we should be careful not to offend devotees, especially our spiritual master, and reap the results. So here it says that there's a difference. Oneness means becoming served. One with the servitor or to serve. In the spiritual world, everyone has a spiritual body, Satchitananda. But still, service is there to Krishna. We're all Jivarasupai, Nitya Krishna Das. We're eternal servants of Krishna. That doesn't change. We never become Krishna or become God. There are many imposters, many people who claim they are God. But Prabhupada said, we're the kicking God. We kick you in the head with boot. So people claim to be God by showing some magic, producing gold in their hand or something like that. But we don't accept such a show bottle. This is show bottle spiritualism. When Krishna came 5,000 years ago, he, from his very childhood, but he couldn't even see properly, the Putana witch came, and she had smeared deadly poison on her breast so that when Krishna sucked her breast, he would kill him. So Krishna was only a baby at that time. He couldn't see properly, but he not only sucked her breast, but he sucked out her life. So Krishna performed so many pastimes, as you can read it in Krishna book, 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, different pastimes that Krishna over and over again proved his identity as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his superhuman activities. So therefore, we should not be misled or thinking the last Naramaya is to think that I can become God or I am God. This doesn't make any sense. You can never become God. We're always subordinate to God. So here it says that the Brahma-Bhuta state is when one no longer laments or desires anything. And in Nectar Devotion, there are 64 items that should be that we should follow. And one of them is not one should not lament. Put himself in a condition overly lament. If we lose some money, we lose something, we shouldn't lament. Of course, lamentation is there. If someone dies in the family, you have to lament. It's not that you shouldn't lament, but not for long. We shouldn't lament forever. We should understand that these things happen and go on with the devotional service. Because, says Krishna, cannot sit in the heart of someone who's full of lamentation or disturbed by lamentation. So here it says that the Brahma-Bhuta platform, when one comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, he has no desire, no material desires, and no longer has a false ego, and therefore he's always joyful. We're always influenced by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're unhappy, sometimes we're hot, sometimes we're cold. These are dualities of the material world, which can't be avoided.
But when it comes to the Brahma Bhuta platform, then one comes to realize that I'm not this body. Aham Brahmasmi. Everybody in the material world thinks that I'm this body. The whole material world is going on under the misconception, false names, and false forms. But when you realize that you're a spirit soul, that you're not this body, then you're no longer influenced by the dualities in the material world. And that way, you're always joyful. Even though the modes are still working, because we have a material body, the modes still act. So a pure devotee, he may get sick, it may seem like he's suffering, but actually he's not. He's always conscious of his identity as a servant of Krishna. It's compared to a man who's intoxicated on alcohol. He doesn't realize that he has clothes on. So when one becomes a pure devotee, he's unaffected by any material circumstances. It's like Prahlad Maharaj. We're reading about Prahlad Maharaj. His father tried to kill him in so many ways, but he just took shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. It was never disturbed in any situation. No matter how many times they tried to kill him and so many atrocities, he was only a five-year-old boy, he just simply remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the difficult stage to come to. That when we to be equal poles in happiness, distress, pain, pleasure. We know Sanatana Goswami, one man heard that Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone. And a touchstone is just a stone. If you touch it to any object, it turns to gold. So this man went to Sanatana Goswami and said, "Give me the most valuable thing you have, or give me that touchstone." He thought it was the most valuable thing that he had. So Sanatana Goswami said, "It's over there in the dustbin, in the garbage bin. You can take it." So the man took it, and after some time he began to consider that this is the most valuable thing he had. Why is he keeping it in a dustbin? So he went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, "Now, he must have something better than this touchstone." And Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, throw away this touchstone and I'll tell you what it is." So he threw it away and he told him that this chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He said, "This is the Yuga Dharma, this is the most valuable thing in this world. By chanting, we come to the mode of goodness. From the mode of goodness, you can come to the mode of pure goodness. It says, the Brahma Bhuvana Loka, from the highest planet down to the lowest, are all places of misery, where the living entity has to suffer repeated birth and death." Sometimes we confront people and we say, "You're suffering in this world." They say, "No, I'm not suffering." But why there's so many hospitals? Why there's so many medical shops? Why there's so many inventions, air conditioning and heating, to counteract the suffering if you're not suffering? If someone's not suffering, says he's not suffering, then go to the pharmacy and get a bottle of malaria. And then you'll know if you're suffering or not. Or we'll take away your AC in the middle of the summer when it's 45 degrees. Then we'll know if you're suffering or not. So this is a misconception that we're not suffering. We're always suffering threefold misery, adiatmic, adidaivic, adibodhic. Miseries from the mind, miseries from other living entities, like the miseries of the mind. We'll try and chant Hare Krishna, but the mind is wandering here and there and everywhere. So it says the uncontrolled mind is our worst enemy, but the controlled mind is our best friend. And Prabhupada says, over and above Chanting Hare Krishna, we have to control the senses, especially the mind. Krishna says that the living entity in this world is suffering due to the six senses, which include the mind. So that's Ariyamik, Ari Daivik, Ari Bodhik, we're suffering from other living entities. We want to go for a walk in the morning, and the flies come, or the dogs bark, the monkeys come, try to steal your bananas, or your fruit, whatever you have. And there's also miseries caused by the demigods, or the higher authorities. When Krishna stopped the injured Jagya, Nanda Maharaj wanted to perform a sacrifice to Lord Indra. So, because they were Vaishyas, and they thought if they worship Indra, they would get rainfall. But Krishna told them, you don't have to worship Indra, just worship Govardhan Hill. So Indra became disturbed, became because of false prestige, and he decided to devastate the whole area of Vrindavan. So he sent his cloud, the Shamataka cloud, and his torrents of rain and hail and so many things that were very fearful and very disturbing to the residents of Vrindavan. So this happens, is that these natural calamities are happening all over the world every day because people are so sinful, especially because people are killing cows in slaughterhouses. Killing of cows is the most sinful activity because the cow is sacred. Golok Vrindavan is Krishna's abode. Go means cow. Cow is Krishna's favorite animal. And from the cow, you get so many nice things, milk or milk products. You don't have to kill the cow to eat the cow. You don't have to eat the cow. You just take the cow, take the milk, and you can live very nicely. Fruits, vegetables, grains, milk. There's no need to eat meat. There's no need to kill innocent animals and cause so much suffering. So because they're causing so much suffering to millions of animals, especially cows and other animals, there's a reaction. And this reaction is coming in the form of earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones all over the world. It's continuously going on. So one of the principles in this movement, we follow four regular principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Because we know it's sinful to eat meat. Even Prabhupada was talking to one cardinal in France. He said to eat meat, to kill, is sinful. You shouldn't eat meat. But the cardinal said, well, the children are hungry. They have to eat meat. And Prabhupada said, well, at least if you're going to eat meat, don't eat the cow. Srimad Bhagavatam says if you have to eat meat, you can eat a goat or a deer, a lesser animal, but you shouldn't eat the cow in all circumstances. But still, he wasn't convinced. But anyway, so because people are eating meat, are killing so many cows and doing so many things to the earth planet, polluting the water, polluting the air, polluting the food, everything is going on. Now in Delhi, they say, if you go to Delhi, you breathe the air, it's like breathing 400 cigarettes in one day. It's become so polluted. So the whole world is becoming topsy-turvy, and inauspicious signs are there. The seasons are topsy-turvy. In America, sometimes in the wintertime, it becomes 70 degrees. In the summertime, it becomes 60, you never know what to expect. So in the wintertime, the trees gets to 7 degrees. At 70 degrees, and the trees produce fruits. But then the next day, it goes down to zero, and everything is spoiled. And this is all a reaction for animal killing. And also, war is also a direct reaction. Because there's slaughtering so many animals in the slaughterhouse, then the wars must be there, because that is also a reaction for animal killing. So all these things are different ways people are suffering Janma Mrityu Jaravadi. We take birth, we get diseased, we get old, and we die. And no one can stop that. It's the laws of nature. They can come up with so many cosmetics to make people look young. They can devise so many plans to keep people alive or bring people back to life. But once the soul is out of the body, no one can bring a dead body back to life. So it's a misconception that life comes from chemicals. You can't take chemicals and make life. Life comes from life. So the Krishna, he's the Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchinananda Vigraha, Nandayade Govinda, Sarvakara Karanam. Krishna is the Supreme Personal God. He's a person, so we're also persons. But we are eternal spirit soul. And at the time of death is not the end of life. It's not the end. People think that when I die, that's the end, nothing after that. But so the person is so active his whole life, all of a sudden he becomes inactive. But it's not that he becomes inactive. It says in Bhagavad Gita that the conditioned soul goes from one body to another as the air carries the aroma. It's a very subtle process. But when you leave this body, you go to Yamaraj or go to the higher. You get another body, and you continue in the cycle of repeated birth and death. So the devotees, one who comes to this platform of pure devotional service, from pure devotional service, then one can be equipoised. Like Sanatana Goswami, he was equipoised. He had a touchstone, but he wasn't interested in getting a lot of gold or becoming wealthy. He was more interested in pure devotional service. So these are called the ethereal things in this world. They're short-lived, or the phantasmagoria, like the horse eggs, is a phantasmagoria. So these different things are mentioned here. But so we practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. That means we go through these stages from first we have faith, then we associate with devotees, then we take initiation, then we give up the unwanted things, Nartana Vritti, then we have Nista, faith becomes fixed, then Asakti, we become attached, then Ruchi, we get a taste, then we get Bhava, the preliminary stage, the love of God, and Prema. So we go through these six stages, these different stages, but it's a gradual process and may take some time. It says, Bhavanam Jamanam Ante Yanavampam Vajite Vasudevasa Samyamti Samahama Sudurlaba. That after many lifetimes, one may come to this position, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So this verse, this chapter starts with sadhana bhakti, which we're practicing now. But that's not pure devotional service. So sadhana is necessary to bring us to pure devotional service, which is sadhya, or the goal. Attain pure love for Krishna and have no other interest or no other desire. So at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender unto me, sarva-dhamma bhikshaja, mamekam saranamaja, ham tvam sarva-padmevyo moksha-shami mahasuchaha. Do not fear, I will protect you from all sinful activities. And so in this way, this is pure devotional service, when we no longer have any other interest but the interest of the Lord. So it may be, if someone's a householder, he has to do his duty, he has to take care of his family, he has so many other interests, but at the same time, he has to try to become Krishna conscious. So whatever ashram, whatever stage of life we're in, we should not misuse human form of life. There's 8,400,000 species of life, but only in human form of life can one
utilizes intelligence, does he have enough intelligence to inquire, Tato Brahma Jignasa, inquire about why I'm in this material world, why I'm suffering, and how I can get free from this suffering condition. Animals, they cannot do that. They put a sign on the grass that says, keep off the grass. But if the dog or the monkey goes on the grass, no one pays any attention because they can't read the sign. They don't have intelligence. But the human being, if he goes on the grass, then he'll be get a tick, get fined or something, because he's supposed to know better. So when we come to human form of life, we have intelligence, greater intelligence than any other species of life. And therefore, we should use our intelligence to become Krishna conscious. So devotees should study Prabhupada's books daily, chant 16 rounds daily, follow all the regulated principles, and somehow or other we should try to come to this platform. No more lamentation, no more desire to have anything. Because desire is there, but to have things, but we use things in Krishna's service, Nirbandhan Krishna Sambandhe, Yukta Vairagya Uchite. So Prabhupada had many things. They brought him a big car or dictaphone or this thing and that thing, but he utilized it in Krishna's service. So it's not that we don't have things. We have things, but we utilize them in the proper way. It's like this microphone, we're using it to give talk about Krishna. So it's becoming spiritualized. But if it was used for mundane, to have a rock band or something, then it's not, it's material. So either way, pure devotional service is what we're aiming at. And here, this is the beginning of pure devotional service, to come to the Brahma Bhuta stage. And then progress farther until we come to the stage of loving devotional service. Anyabhi lasita sunyam jnanakarma navitam anukilaya krishnano bhakta uttamam. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Question man is here. It's going to be a question. Make it according to the verse. That doesn't pertain to this verse. That question doesn't have anything to do with this verse. Does it? That's not a challenging question. Krishna has his lila. If he killed Kamsa, he could have done his lila in for 5 minutes. You can't ask that question, why? You know, I can't answer that question. It's not an intelligent question. It doesn't have anything to do with this verse.
No, but regarding your example, I'm asking you, give the example.
I know, but Krishna could have killed it, but he had so many other things to do. The eighth child, the prophecy was the eighth child would be killed by Kamsa, not the first child. So he had a way to kill Kamsa.
He was the eighth child.
Yeah.
That time he could have killed him, but why did he went in so many processes?
Because he didn't stay in Mathura. He went to Vrindavan first and had to grow up to kill Kamsa. Kamsa didn't come to kill him. He killed the demons who came to kill him. Kamsa didn't come to kill him immediately. He was a trick. They fooled Kamsa. Kamsa didn't know that Krishna was born in Mathura. There was going to the person who was going to kill him. So it was revealed later. Any other question? Yes. No, it may be there. Lamentation may be there. But it shouldn't be something that disturbs us for our whole life. If a child is born, dies in someone's family, they lament for a short time. It's not that they lament their whole life. They see that it was Krishna's arrangement that, you know, it couldn't be avoided. Parents try to protect the child, but sometimes the child dies early age. So lamentation is not a bad thing, but it's not something that should be continued. We should have to transcend it. And desires we have, desires, but we should try to check our desires and only desire things that are favorable for devotional service, not otherwise. So we have to control these things and see how they're affecting us. If we're affected in so many affected by lamentation then too much, then you should consult with senior devotees and get counseling to relieve you of that problem. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.